Mr. Pullen, rail 27.
Rather surprised, really, that despite the fact that your pay was improving, your food was improving, and your various other conditions of service were improving after the war, I'm surprised that you preferred the Navy before the war, when these things were much worse.
Yeah, well, I preferred it because of the discipline, not because of the food.
Mm.
If they'd have brought the food out like that when I was there, although the food wasn't so bad as a petty officer, you know. Mm.
What did you do when you left the service, Mr. Pullen?
I was skipper of that floating bridge at Sandbanks for 20 years. I had £2.10 a week to start with, and I rose to £3 a week and a pound war bonus. I didn't go up for the Second World War.
That was a good job, was it?
It was a good job, but bad, you see, because there was no work about when I came out in 1926.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. When you came out of the service in 26, was it very difficult to get work?
Yes, awfully difficult. I tried everywhere. I tried in Wareham. They wanted to advertise for sailors for overhead wiring, and I was supposed to go and have a job there, leave my name and address. And I had a motor course before I left the Navy. I paid £10 for a motor course. We used to do what I call vocational training. You could learn bricklaying and all that, you know, you see. So I took in a motor course. And after I'd done the motor course, I never bothered with motor cars, but the Royal Blues in Bournemouth was advertising for drivers for their buses for the summer holidays, see. So I went out and seen the boss. He says, yes, we got a bus going to London. A certain day I'll send for you. So I had to leave my name and address again, see? That was two jobs.
You never heard from him?
Yes, now the next job was down on the floating bridge.
So you got that job as a driver?
If they had sent for me. They hadn't sent for me yet, see?
Oh, you
but
never...
They was going to send for me there. And for the overhead wiring, see? Just leave your name and address. The next thing was the floating bridge. When I went down there, the boss said, I'm going to take a Navy man on here. See? I said, well, I just done 25 years there. He said, where's your papers? I showed him. He said, how much a week do you want? I heard it was only paying 30 shillings. I said, £2.10. He said, I'll pay you £2.10. So I was toll collector there for a couple of days. And then the holiday time, the chain broke down with a 10-pound prow on, 10-ton prow.
Mm. So that was, you had a chance then at three different jobs.
Yes. And when the I'll tell you what I was doing. I was over the other house then, belonged to my wife. And I was building one of them old-fashioned brick coppers, you know?
Mm.
Old brick coppers.
What I don't understand is, you said jobs were very difficult to get when you came out of the service.
Yes.
Yet you could have had any one of three jobs.
Three jobs, that's right. Well, I had a telegram.
So it wasn't so difficult for you then?
No, somehow I must have felt a bit lucky there, see?
Well, I wonder why that was. Do you think it was your Navy training that helped?
Well, as regards, we say, overhead wiring. That man wanted Navy men, see, for climbing. Now, as regards the coach, I don't think the Navy done much about that, but the papers I showed him that I had for passing out, because I passed up with the RAC and the Navy passed me out, see? And the day I put that old copper in, three telegrams came over home, and I said to my old father-in-law, which would you take? He said, well, you've been used to the sea, you should take the bridge. So I took the bridge.
Mm.
And I worked there for 20 years.
Do you think men that came out of the Navy about the time you did, in 1926, do you think on the whole they were able to compete with civilians very successfully for jobs?
No, I don't think they could. I don't think they could because I got one or two of them jobs, you know, see, that I knew afterwards. They couldn't get a job of their own, look, see. They're on the floating bridge, I got them as ticket collectors and stuff like that, see.
Yes, I wonder why that was. I mean, I had always assumed that the Navy's training would be so good that civilian employers would jump at it.
Yes, I always thought so, but I suppose at that time, being like it was, everybody out of work, so many millions out of work, weren't there?
Yeah.
It was a difficult job to... But I was really lucky entirely.
Apart from your own particular case, do you think at that time it was harder for sailors to get jobs in City Street than it was for civilians?
Sailors?
Yeah.
Yes, I think it would be, because they wasn't fit for that sort of work that was being offered. Like in factories and stuff, where they could only fit in where they could do a bit of sweeping up, or they had no idea of mechanical work and stuff like that, see.
Well, what about naval ratings like signalmen and people like this? They'd be quite well qualified, wouldn't they, for civilian jobs?
What, shipwrights?
Signalmen.
Signalmen?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was.
No?
I think that was all they was fit for, the post office. I knew one that went in the post office, you know, and he'd come out with 2 crowns on his, 1 crown on each. I think he was in charge of the telegraph boys. Mm. That's the only one I ever knew done the... They couldn't stick the post office because I put in for a postman, you know.
Do you think people like yourself, who left the Navy in the 1920s, as your retirement time was approaching, did you expect to find it fairly easy to get a job in Civvy Street?
No, I'll tell you what, we used to pay half a crown. Half a crown, I think it was every... I don't know if it was every yearly or half yearly. They'd find us a job when we come out. But that fell through.
Who's they?
Some renowned crowd in Portsmouth, you know, who used to have a... There's some club open there, I'll see, that you find your job, try and get your job outside you. But like everything else, they tried to get you a job. They didn't get you one. I think mostly.
You see, what I'm wondering is whether men, before they had actually left the Navy, whether they expected to have difficulties in getting a civilian job, or whether they expected that it would be quite easy.
Well, I tell you, I've talked with one or two before we left, and they used to say that their relations was up in the Midlands, making silk stockings, you know, these nylon. They could get a job in that factory, help making these nylon stockings. That was the only job I ever knew, ever heard of them getting. Mm. I know one or two used to say to me, when I go outside, I'm going to do a bit of concrete work. They thought that was, you know, they couldn't do road work, it was too heavy. I knew one or two that came out there, 12, worked in Bournemouth on the road. And the navvy used to, ganger, you know, he used to tell off his men, you do so much, see? And he'd tell off these navy chaps do so much. They couldn't do it. They couldn't keep up with these chaps, see? And I know old Bill Whittle, the down pool, old Bill said to one ganger, he said, take off that coat and they're going to beat him up because he couldn't chop enough road up, look, see? Mm. Come back in the navy, finish off his 22 years for a pension.
Did the Navy do very much itself to help men who left the Navy at the time you did to get jobs in civilian
street? No, none of them. They didn't help you at all. When she left the Navy, finished. The only thing was the latter end, as I'm saying, they brought out this business of you could learn bricklaying, see? According to OU, if you was married with children, you wouldn't pay nothing. But you could learn plastering or bricklaying. I've seen 2 writers in the Navy, one with a plastering board, sticking a plaster on, another one beyond catching it, because he couldn't stick it on. Another one doing a bit of brickwork, learning how to put brickwork. And I thought, well, I can't do none of that. I'd take up the car business, you see. I thought, well, that's about the most simple. I thought, well, if I get a job with some gentleman, you know, gentleman's house, looking after his electric plant, went through all that, you know, And I had a course of Harvey Frost vulcanizing. All come in the course that I was going through. And Daimler's gave us one of their engines. Of course, we used to measure the tappets, and you know, we wanted to turn the handle and see how the engine would work. And in fact, it would work out a lot. Horsepower and all that sort of thing. But I don't know anything about it now.
Were these good courses, do you think?
Strict courses?
Good courses.
Hmm?
Were they good courses?
Good courses?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I mean, did they give you a useful qualification?
Yes, it was very very enjoyable, too, you know. They used to call you Mr., you know. There was no Navy about it. You had 6 weeks with them, like, you know, see. And you was like a civilian at the time. You didn't do no work on board ship. You just, after your day's work, you go back in the barracks, see. Have your food, that's it. Or you go back and have your meals and go back and... all done through the Navy, you know.
Mm-hmm.